Good afternoon. Today is June 5th, 2017. And we're going to open up the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. And colleagues, today we're going to open up a public hearing and open up a work session on Senate Bill 254 relating to collection of debts owed to the state. So what do we need to know about the bill before us?
Well, Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee, SB 254 is similar to a bill that that you reviewed in 2016. It's had a little work done. It requires financial institutions to participate in a data match program with the Department of Revenue. It allows the Department of Revenue to send banks names of delinquent debtors and have those matches made at the bank level, and then Department of Revenue would be notified. It's something that the Secretary of State recommended in the 2015 audit. The staff measure summary, the fiscal impact statement, and the revenue impact statement are available on OLIS. The revenue office estimates an increase in successful garnishments of 6% the first year and up to 12% by the third year of implementation. Revenue projections for this bill are included in the Joint Ways and Means Co-Chair's budget framework. The department can manage this program with existing staff, and there is no amendment.
Perfect. All right. Any initial questions, colleagues? Senator, welcome.
It's okay if I bring Deanna.
Perfect. So welcome. Just introduce yourself for the record, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Kathleen Taylor, State Senator, District 21. Thank you, Co-Chair Smith and Co-Chair Manning, and members of the committee. I was once on this committee. It's a lovely committee. I'm so glad to be back. And this bill, just to remind folks, this is a bill that Senator Johnson and I attempted to do in the last legislative session, along with Representative Gromberg. And for powers greater than me, or for reasons not quite sure, we were not able to accomplish that. But we are here today to give it another try. And the good news is, at the end, you're going to hear that we're actually going to bring money in with the bill. Isn't that great? Isn't that great, Nordic, instead of just asking for money? So I'm going to go ahead and I have some prepared comments. There's two sections to the bill. It's a little bit complicated, but I have it spelled out here so that we can all have a better understanding of what's in the bill. So I'm here to request your support for Senate Bill 254A, a bill which gives the Department of Revenue two meaningful tools to improve efficiency in order to collect debt owed to the state of Oregon. Liquidated and delinquent debt owed to the state has nearly doubled since 2008 to approximately $3.3 billion. Over $600 million of this is within the Department of Revenue. During the 2015 regular session, the legislature passed Senate Bill 55, which took steps to improve collection efforts, including centralizing debt collection oversight within the Department of Administrative Services. In conjunction, the Secretary of State's office released the State Debt Collection Audit, which included a series of recommendations, among them using data matching processes and the new higher report data in order to issue garnishments more efficiently. Currently, if the Department of Revenue issues a garnishment on a debtor's bank account, they must guess at which institution a debtor may be banking. Each garnishment that is issued has a search fee payable to the financial institution and added to the debtor's balance. This method is inefficient and not cost-effective, as there are fees associated with each one of these requests. In addition, financial institutions must search their records for possible accounts of people that might not bank with them in an ad hoc, unscheduled manner. The Division of Child Support in DOJ currently uses FIDM, which is known as Financial Institution Data Matching, to issue levies and collect unpaid child support. Senate Bill 254A follows the audit recommendation that Oregon create a statute to allow for DOR to use FIDM similarly to DOJ. So, in the bill, I'm just going to go through the bullet points here, requires financial institutions to participate in a data match system established by the Department of Revenue to identify accounts held by delinquent debtors. Matches will take place on a quarterly basis. Individual financial institutions will be reimbursed by DOR for startup costs of $2,500 and for a quarterly cost of $150. Exemptions exist if this program would not be cost-effective to the administrator or a financial institution is experiencing financial hardship. Directs a rulemaking advisory committee to convene to determine the appropriate procedures for the multitude of financial institutions that exist in Oregon, and requires a representative from the banks and from the credit unions to be part of the rulemaking process. It penalizes misuse and disclosure of data match information for financial institutions, their employees, and state agency employees to ensure accountability in keeping debtor information private. Sections 1 through 6, the data match program of the bill, has an operative date of July 1, 2018 to allow the rulemaking committee to meet and adopt procedures prior to the operative date. The other portion of the bill deals with what is known as the new hire report. Under federal child support law, employers are required to submit lists of new and rehired employees to state child support collectors. Currently, DOR is not explicitly allowed to access the information in the report. Senate Bill 254A follows the audit recommendation to grant DOR access to the state data, which will assist with wage garnishment and locate wage earners who are not paying taxes earlier than we can currently with our existing payroll reports. Senate Bill 254A, New Hire Report Information Sharing, authorizes the Division of Child Support to share information on new and rehired employees within DOR for the purpose of wage garnishment. It also allows DOJ and DOR to create the manner within which DOJ will access that information. There is a fiscal impact. The first year of the 17-19 biennium, the second half of the biennium we are in now, will be $22,675. And then for the 19-21 biennium, the fiscal impact is $80,288. However, the revenue impact for general fund and other funds for the 17-19 biennium is $2 million, and then for the 19-21 biennium is $8.3 million, and then for the 21-23 biennium is estimated to be $10.2 million. And I also wanted to bring to your attention today on OLIS, the governor's office submitted a letter of support. And as you know, we also have the Secretary of State's Audits Division, the people who actually did the audit here. And of course, we have Deanna Mack. And then we also have support from the credit unions are here to in support of the bill as well.
So for the record, Deanna Mack with Department of Revenue, and I'm here to kind of go over some of how we got to this point and some of the things that the bill contains, as Senator Taylor just talked about. We have been working with the Department of Justice, the Northwest Credit Union Association, Oregon Bankers Association, and this bill is a result of that work since 2010. It has been a while that we have been trying to get this, so I appreciate your indulgence today. And as Senator Taylor said, it does two things, this bill. It does the financial institution data match, and it does the employer new hire reporting. The employer new hire reporting actually will accelerate the amount of information we have for wage garnishments from 4 to 6 months down to about 20 days. So we're very hopeful that that will get us the information much quicker than we have been able to do this in the past. You'll see on OLIS as well, there's a letter of support from the Child Support Director, Kate Richardson, and DOJ is also in the room if you have any questions for them. Some background though, in 2009, this legislature considered a bill that would have required financial institution data match. At that time, there was a number of concerns. It was really new nationally. It was a new trend nationally. And at the time, there was a lot of concerns raised, and so the bill did not pass. Instead, Department of Revenue got a budget note asked to study the viability of such a program. And we did that in 2010 and presented it in March of 2011. Saying it was still in its infancy nationally, and we needed to work with our partners to actually figure out how to put this into place. And we have done that since then. Nearly a dozen states have taken on this role of financial institution data match. We have been working with the industry partners since then to try and figure out and overcome the issues that they have raised, and we believe that the engrossed version of the bill does address the issues that they have raised. One of the issues that they have raised was that the state should not have access to financial institution information about customers who are not debtors. So in Section 2, each financial institution would have the option to perform the match. So the financial institution would retain its own customers' information, and the state would not have possession of that data. So that has been overcome. Some financial institutions don't have the infrastructure to do the match themselves, so an alternative means to comply was provided in Section 2. It's flexible enough that it allows for vendor option to match the information. So again, the department still does not have access to the their customer information. Additionally, as Senator Taylor said, Section 2, Subsection 5 of the bill provides for exemptions from the data match in cases where it isn't cost effective to do the match, or where the financial institution is perhaps undercapitalized. Additionally, one of the concerns the financial institutions wanted us to address was that they should not have to bear the cost of the match system like they did with the federal child support mandate. So that is what Senator Taylor mentioned, the up to one-time cost of $2,500 will be reimbursed and up to $150 per quarter. And that is just an average of various states' quarters. So those were overcome. Additionally, to assist the state with the cost of collecting these debts, the bill authorizes the department to pass along those costs to the debtor who has incurred the reason for the collections. Financial institutions also insisted that they have safe harbor provisions in the bill to prevent their customers from holding them liable. Those are inserted in subsection 6 of section 2. Those safe harbor provisions are there. Additionally, there was concerns about the confidentiality and improper use of customers' information. Sections 4 and 5 of the bill address unlawful disclosure and limit the use of the information to just debt collection purposes. Additionally, Section 6 provides that a violation of these provisions by a state employee is a Class C felony, similar to our unlawful disclosure of information. We'd be banned from employment for 5 years with the state. And additionally, the financial institutions really were concerned about bank shopping. If one financial institution had to have this had to comply with this and others did not, they didn't want their customers to go from one bank to the next. So Section 6 creates an incentive, a penalty for non-compliance by the financial institution, and it gives them 30 days to comply, and if they don't, then a monthly penalty will assert for every 30 days of non-compliance thereafter. That ensures fair customer treatment, and it increases financial institution compliance as well as prevents the bank shopping that they were concerned about. So Section 3 of the bill is to coordinate the garnishments with the Department of Justice, the Division of Child Support. So if we receive a match from a financial institution and that debtor is also a child support debtor, priority is given to the child support debt. So we have to wait 30 days before we can issue our garnishment so that the Division of Child Support is able to issue their garnishment. And so that's a priority of the everyone that was participating, make sure the child support is paid first. But as you know, all of the devil is in the details, right? And so that's why there's a rulemaking group that's been established in Section 6 of the bill, and it requires the department to engage with stakeholders such as the banks and credit unions as we develop those rules. That's a stronger requirement than is in the APA right now, the Administrative Procedure Acts for rulemaking. So we will be doing that. And those rules will fine-tune how we do this, including the technical specifications for the financial institutions, an alternative method for matching for the smaller institutions, and then also how costs will be certified to the department for reimbursement, as well as any other technical issues we learn of over the next year. The rules are required to be effective by July 1 of 2018, so that gives us time to implement those rules and come back to you in February of 2018 if there are any issues that we can't resolve by rule that must be addressed in statute. Sections 8 and 9 of the bill are conforming provisions to the substantive ones I've already gone over, and then sections 10 and 11 are the new hire reporting requirements. And as Senator Taylor already indicated, the Secretary of State has indicated that this is something that this is a tool, that these are tools the Department of Revenue, that Oregon should be using as well. So for these reasons, along with Governor Brown, we ask that you support this bill and move it along so that we can start working on putting these tools in place this year. And with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to help answer them.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? I want to make sure I get my arms around the fee structure. Am I reading? Help me understand that. Who's paying to implement this? Are the state of Oregon is?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, if I understand this correctly, we're going to be. Department of Revenue is directed to reimburse financial institutions up to $2,500 for startup costs, and then up to $150 per quarter. Do the financial institutions not benefit from use of this system?
Mr. Co-Chair,
what am I missing on this? I apologize.
I do not believe that they do benefit from this. This is a courtesy for the state to collect debt owed to the state through the child support function or through. Oh, go ahead.
Co-Chair Smith and Co-Chair Manning, Deanna's correct in that this is a benefit for the state. However, I would argue that we've made the life a lot easier by having an electronic system in place instead of right now it's a very, very laborious system, and we have to guess where people have their money. We generally just, if I understand it correctly, right now we just basically go to the major banks and say, does Mr. Smith have his money here? Right. Oh, yes or no, and that's very laborious. And so we were paying a fee for each transaction. And so this is one time, get the program set up.
And it's going to create a much more efficient process.
And that is true. Thank you, Senator Taylor. It will, it'll create efficiencies for the financial institution. They won't have to look for maybe 7 or 8 garnishments for one debtor where we know they have an account. We'll be able to issue it to the financial institution where we know there's an account.
I understood that correctly. Okay, let me ask one more question, then I'll go to Representative Gumberg. I noticed that the Northwest Credit Union Association has written a letter of support. Do we have a letter of support from the Oregon Bankers Association?
Mr. Co-Chair, they testified in the prior committee that they were neutral on the bill, which is an improvement because they had been priorly opposed to it in the past.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, Representative.
Thank you, Co-Chair. And I was just following up on your question for some clarification. Under the current system, we basically shotgun the financial institutions. We'll send out 25 garnishments looking and hoping that one of them lands at an institution where somebody has an account. And we will pay an administrative fee for each of those garnishments. That's the current situation.
That is correct. It's a little. We do have an educated guess on the financial institutions, but we do send many, and we do pay for each one of them.
And under the proposed system, we would find out in advance where an individual has their accounts and pay for processing that finding out process, but therefore we would save money not sending out 25 misdirected garnishments. What's the financial comparison there? What was it costing us in the current situation to go fishing as opposed to the new situation where we find out in advance where the fish are?
Mr. Chair, I think if I can look at my notes here, I believe we were estimating, let's see if I can find it, for a one-page notice to send to a debtor, it's 56 cents. And the divvying up the $150 per quarter by the number of debtors that we have, there's a significant cost avoidance in the future. When a garnishment, and maybe Department of Justice can correct me, but I believe a garnishment is somewhere between 11 and 14 pages. So it's fairly expensive to send a garnishment notice to multiple financial institutions.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, Secretary of State, or Pam, you want to come up? Come on up. Howdy.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Smith and Co-Chair Manning. I'm Pam Levitt, representing the Northwest Credit Union Association. Most of the work on this bill was done a year ago. A lot of the asks that were made by financial institutions, including ourselves, came last year, and we worked on the bill to get it to a point where we were comfortable with it. It is a regulatory burden. We are asking our staff to go through data and provide information. So we wanted to make sure it was right. We also wanted to make sure the confidentiality of our members were protected and there was a safe harbor in place for credit unions. We do this, as was stated, through the Department of Justice and the Child Data Match Program. So we do have history and background, and I think this will be an efficient system. And we are supportive because we got to a place where we worked with Senator Taylor and the Department of Justice on all of our issues and came to the conclusion that we were certainly willing to move in this direction. You have my full written testimony, and I don't need to go into any more detail.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any questions or comments? Senator.
My comment is Pam's, Ms. Levitt's testimony underscores Senator Taylor's willingness to get to yes on this bill. She has been exceedingly patient, exceedingly professional, and I think has worked extraordinarily hard to get all the parties to a point where they can support the bill.
Right. Thank you.
That's right. And Pam, really quick, I want to thank the credit unions. You folks are really developing a reputation for trying to get to yes and to find common ground, and please know it's noted.
We can't always get there, Co-Chair, but we do work.
But you try.
Certainly
you try.
With really good ideas, and I think this is certainly a good idea. If I ask all my members, are you excited about this, they wouldn't say, yes, we're excited to do more work. But it's the right thing to do, and we're happy to comply.
We appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Secretary of State, you want to come on up? Do we have any? Welcome.
Good afternoon. Co-chairs Manning and Smith, for the record, my name's Jamie Rawls. I'm a principal auditor with the Secretary of State Audits Division. I'm a certified fraud examiner and a certified data analyst, and I was the principal auditor that conducted this audit and released it back in September of 2015. For the record, I just want to also kind of say thank you to Senator Taylor and Deanna Mack and everyone that's worked hard on this. We did our part as doing the audit completely independent and objective, but this is where all the pieces kind of come together. And the audit was read, and she worked really hard with our office to try and figure out what we had learned from the audit. And we laid the groundwork and kind of found some things, and things were already had already been discovered from DOR and various other agencies to improve things, but we just brought it to light, and then Senator Taylor really took it from there and worked with everyone to get this to go forward. So it's been a good process. For today's presentation, just going to give a brief background on the two tools that we did identify in the audit, access to the new hire report, and then the bank account levies, also known as bank data matching. Just to refresh, the objective of our audit was to determine if Oregon can improve collections of liquidated and delinquent debt. Specifically, we wanted to know if there were promising practices that other states were doing that we could replicate to improve our collections here in Oregon. The impetus for our audit was a five-year trend of increasing delinquent debt, declining collection rates, and a lack of a statewide leadership overseeing the collection of delinquent debt. When we started the audit, collections were happening all across the board with different agencies. There was various different reports that were produced, but no one seemed to have a handle on everything. A lot of different pieces happening and all over the place. So we started looking at best practices. We interviewed folks from the U.S. Department of Treasury and then 15 other states to determine what they were doing. From these interviews, we identified five best practice themes and then narrowed our focus onto six states that all seemed to make improving collections a sustained priority and had similar demographics to Oregon, and like Oregon, had a state income tax. So the six states were Colorado, Kentucky, Maryland, New Jersey, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Through that research, we identified and discussions with the states and interviews with the officials, we found several tools that Oregon could pursue, but these two were two of the biggest that seemed like something we could implement here and had the biggest result in the other states. For the new hire report, this is under federal child support law, employers are required to submit lists of new employees within roughly 20 days of hire for use by the child support collectors, which can be extremely valuable to the collection of child support. The Employment Department also receives a quarterly employer data on employees and wages, which did go out to some of the collection units, but this is generally 3 to 6 months behind after the hiring date. So when we started our audit and started interviewing these various departments, we were hearing that we do get something on a list of new hires, but it's delayed. But there is this new hire report that folks at DOJ get for collecting child support data. And DOR had mentioned in the interviews they would like to receive the new hire report and believed it would improve their ability to garnish wages and identify wage earners who had not filed taxes. DOR's research indicated that eight state taxing authorities have access to the new hire information, and those states included California and North Carolina, who were similar in legal position to Oregon. DOR first identified and started working on the issue in 2009 and had planned on seeking legislation shortly after that. However, as of August 2015, when we were conducting the audit, we had asked DOR what the status was on that and had found out the DOJ officials had not responded back to DOR's request for legal clarity. So we tried to get the ball rolling again and bring that to light as something that needed to move forward. We recommended this first in one of our audits back in 1997. So that's how far back that one goes. On the other issue, the bank data matching, when it comes to bank garnishment and levies, we found all but one of Oregon's largest debtor agencies have to guess where the debtor might be located, as Deanna and Senator Taylor had mentioned. Other states, like Wisconsin and California, had worked with financial institutions to implement the broader statewide matching system that allows them to quickly link debtors to specific bank accounts. And the key point here is that banks are already doing this for the child support. They were already doing this. It was just expanding it out to do a broader base of debt. In Oregon, we learned the only agency that can match debtors to bank balances for collection is the Child Support Department of Justice Child Support Program. Federal law requires all states to access bank information for child support debt, and other Oregon agencies have to send requests to banks where they believe a debtor has money. If there's a match and required authorizations, the bank takes the money from the debtor and sends it to the agency. Sometimes collectors have a canceled check or other clues that allow them to see where the debtor banks. If not, they have to guess, typically based on the last known address. This lack of information deters filing bank account levy requests, which carry fees to the agency. So other states have created bank account matching systems that go beyond the child support, and the system allows them to send levy requests to banks with much more confidence the debtor money is actually there. From our interviews with Wisconsin, we learned its statewide system includes data from about 500 banks operating in the state, and the state law requires them to participate. Wisconsin works with a third-party data manager that matches state debtor information to bank data, and the vendor works in at least 37 other states for some kind of financial institution data matching. It's largely automated, and they had reported in their 2014 report about $30 million in collections. So they have quite a robust system, and it was their biggest source of collections for their state. So from the review of these two tools and some others, our audit report recommended Oregon consider the use of collection tools by working with the agencies and the legislature when necessary to implement new tools, such as the bank data matching, and to work with DOJ to resolve the legal issues, such as the new hire report availability. That's all I have for today, but if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Senator Johnson.
The bouquet toss continues. Ms. Rawls has been invaluable to getting us to this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I just want to echo that, Ms. Rawls. I have actually read your audit, and it was so good that after putting it down for a while, I went back and I read it again.
Great. We were worried it was too boring.
So I want to thank you for the many recommendations that you brought forward, and today we have an example of that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, that's all the folks we have signed up. Is there anyone else who wants to offer public testimony? Last chance. All right. We're going to close the public hearing, colleagues, on Senate Bill 254. We're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 254. Mr. Co-Chair, do you want to give us a motion here?
Yeah, I was waiting for LFO since she put me out on the spot to say something else. Mr. Co-Chair, I move SB 254A to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Colleagues, Mr. Co-Chair has moved Senate Bill 254A to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation. Are there any comments on this? Any thoughts? Representative.
Thank you, Co-Chair. This is a good bill. I was pleased to support it 2 years ago. I'm delighted to see it back. It's going to generate money for us in the long run, and in the short run, it's going to save us part of the cost of collection. In simple terms, I think I suggested a few minutes ago, we're going to save money by finding out where the fish are before we go fishing.
All righty. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. Any opposition? All right. Seeing none, so passed. Senator Johnson, I see that you're a sponsor of this legislation. Will you carry this in full Ways and Means?
I would be proud to.
Okay. And then what we're going to ask is if Senator Taylor would carry it on the floor. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
And then Representative Gomberg, will you carry it on the House floor?
I'm in. Thank you.
All right. Any other action before us today?
Yeah.
All right. Anything? We're going to close her down? All right. We're good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Colleagues, we're adjourned for the day.
Thank you.
Okay. Today.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're adjourned for